One of the greatest dangers that our young people face in our day and time is the fact that the gospel, when it is preached, has so many different voices. There are so many different things being said in the name of the gospel, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can go into one church after another and hear different things from the pulpit, and some men will say one thing and some men will say another. Now, those who have the Bible in their hands and in their hearts, those who have ever seen the face of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, so that they recognize Him in the Scriptures and know how it means to them, can go almost anywhere, and while sometimes they will be fed, and sometimes what they get will just be chaff, there isn't so much danger that they're likely to be turned away. But when people come along, say young people who have grown up in Christian home, or they've been going to a sound church where there's been a pastor who preached the Bible and Sunday school teachers who taught the Bible, and when they go out from there and go out into the world as a whole, they come across the shocking realization that there are other people talk about these things who do not believe them. There are people who talk about these things and say differently about these things than they have heard. And I am sure that it is the nightmare of every pastor when he is thinking about leaving a congregation. It will be the nightmare of every evangelist when he is leaving a community where he has been preaching the gospel, as it is of every teacher who has been trying to lead people into an understanding of the gospel, and perhaps of every parent who really cares about the soul of the child, of the young person. It's just a nightmare to think of what peril there is when these people go out to face all these various voices on the face of the earth. God allows it to be that way. Paul wrote to the Corinthians to say, "There must also be heresies among you, that they which are true might be made manifest." God allows all these substitutions to be offered so as to test your own faithfulness toward Him. And one might very well ask, what in the world could you do by way of helping your young people? How would anyone be helped? If you have a young person going away from home for the first time to a college or a university, or perhaps they go into the military, perhaps they go into the army, maybe they go into the Navy or the Air Corps, and when they go out in this strange situation among strange people, hear all kinds of things, and they're dependent upon their chaplain, whoever he may be, or the pastor, whoever he may be, in the church where they're going, how in the world are you going to be able in any way to have any confidence as to what will happen so far as those young people are concerned? Now, may I say one thing to you right away? Saying this, "Oh, if they're healthy, they'll be all right," that is too superficial. No, we can't leave it that way. You know what that's like saying? That's like saying because a person's healthy, they can go anywhere, they won't catch smallpox. That's not true. Just because a person is healthy and you say, "Well, he can go in any place, he won't get diphtheria," that's not true. There are communicable diseases, and those communicable diseases will fasten themselves onto healthy people also. No, we need something more than that. And I'm going to say for the time being one thing that you can carry in your minds. The only safeguard I know for anybody, young or old, the only safeguard that I know for those who are educated and those who are uneducated is a close walk with God. I know that reading the Bible is very, very important. It's essential. But you need to walk with the Lord in the reading of the Scripture, in the interpreting of the Bible. I know that prayer is very important. But it's very, very important that you have personal fellowship walking with the Lord. Now, these things that I'm talking about were mentioned by the Apostle Paul in his talk to the Ephesian elders, as we were noticing in chapter 20 of the book of Acts. And if you have the Bible with you, we'll open at the book of Acts in chapter 20. I want to draw your attention there in verse 32 from there to the end of the chapter. You will notice that in verse 31, the apostle says, "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears." Notice that, with tears. The apostle was very much in earnest. He was very, very concerned for the spiritual well-being of his people. And now in verse 32, he goes on. And now, brethren, I commend you to God. That's what I've been talking about. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Now, we have some well-meaning people, and they'll take the first part of that statement, I commend you to God, and then they just forget it. They say, well, we'll just let God take care of that. That's too superficial. If God could have done it that way, he would have never had to send the Lord Jesus Christ into the world. Let me repeat that. If God could just take care of the people who look up to him and put their trust in him, then the Lord Jesus Christ would never have needed to come into this world. God could just have done it. But you see, man's faith is involved. The faith of the believer is involved. And so God revealed his truth in Jesus Christ so that it could be believed. As many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God, even to them who believe on his name. And so here, when he says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, that's the important thing. This revelation of the will of God, which you need to know in order that you can walk with him, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. The word of his grace, the scripture, which tells you about the grace of God, is able to build you up. It will hold you up under any kind of circumstances, regardless of the criticism that is leveled against you, regardless of the strange ideas that are presented to you, regardless of perverse things that men say that would turn you around and twist you away from these things. If you will keep the scriptures in mind and heart as you walk with him, the scriptures are able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. The word sanctified means set apart unto God. You can belong to them. And this is the way in which to do it, that you'll walk with the Lord in the light of his word. What a glory he sheds on our way. That's the way in which it is done. And this is when Paul comes to the end of his time of warning these people. And he knows that into the congregation in Ephesus, there will come grievous wolves that will be scattering the flock. The Lord Jesus Christ said that there would be these wolves among you in sheep's clothing, and they would actually devastate the people and devastate the flock. Peter says this same thing when he says about the false prophets who will be among you and speaking perverse things and drawing many people after them, and many people will be taken away, carried away by their pernicious ways. Let's have no misunderstanding, and let's not have any superficial optimism about this thing. This matter of walking with the Lord is a matter of personal relationship with him. If you're casual or careless or superficial about this, you can be swept away in the tide just as easily as anything. The wind can blow from the pulpit through the preaching of a certain man. You can be just taken away from the Lord as simple as anything. It has been done. It is being done. God only knows how many people are being swept out into unbelief because of the winds that are blowing across the teaching and the preaching throughout our country, where men are saying perverse things, as Peter says, even denying the Lord who bought them. And Paul says, I'll just tell you one thing, turn to God, draw nigh unto God and to the word of his grace. Get to know the scriptures and get to understand them, study them. They're able to build you up, and they can give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. And then Paul gives his final utterance. And listen to the way in which he is able to stand before them, as it were, and remind them of his own testimony. Verse 33, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. This is an honest man able to look into the face of this congregation and remind them, I didn't want anything you had. I didn't want your money. You yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. In Paul's case, he made his way by tent making. And today there's many a pastor that can stand before his congregation and can tell them honestly and plainly, I have earned my keep. You know, many churches have such a budget that they need a real good manager to be able to manage their affairs. And if they paid the pastor the salary they did just as general manager of the church, it would be a good business deal. That would be just exactly what it would amount to. I can remember in the days when I was pastor, I didn't mean any harm when I told my people rather plain, but I can remember very well standing before the officers of my congregation and telling them, men, you can't hire me to preach. You can't pay me to preach. You can pay me a pastor's salary, and I'll work for you all during the week, and I'll do the pastoral calling, I'll do the arranging and the directing of the work of the church, and I'll do everything I can to see to it that people will come to this congregation, support the budget, and put the thing over. But when I walk into the pulpit to preach on Sunday, you can't pay me. You haven't got money enough in the world to pay me then. What I do then, I do as unto the Lord. And I expect I'm just speaking the sentiment of every and any man who really is in the ministry for the sake of doing the Lord's work. One thing for sure, we're not in it because we want what anybody else has got. Now Paul goes on, yea, yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I'm sorry I don't have more time to talk about this. Maybe this is enough. Let me just say to you, so far as you're concerned in your church, it's more blessed to give than to receive. So far as you are concerned in your home, it's more blessed to give than to receive. So far as you're concerned in the community, it's more blessed to give than to receive. This is the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's something for you to carry along in your mind. You're going to work to support the weak. You're going to help the weak any way you possibly can. You're going to put yourself out on behalf of other people that you might enjoy the great blessing of God, because it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. This is the passing away, as it were, the valedictory address of an honest minister who is able to lay down his work with these people with a good conscience. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more, and they accompanied him unto the ship. Our God and Heavenly Father, add thy blessing to faithful pastors, faithful ministers, wherever they may be. Encourage them to be strong, and call more and more men to faithfully serve thee. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.